baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday News Walk-Off Show. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. No O. We have a lot to get to today, but I did want to really quickly, before we get into all of the baseball talk, what the Blue Jays are doing, et cetera, I did want to just tease that we do have some very good interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. No times are locked down, but we have been in talks with friend of the show, Zach Britton, who has given us his time before, but he is going to return. Of course, Zach is a catcher within the Blue Jays system, lefty bat. He was originally injured behind the dish, was moved as an outfielder, and then healed up and moved back behind the plate. So he's currently in Double A. He spent the fall at the Arizona Fall League. So we'll check in with him. Friend of the show, Samro Burse. Looks like he's going to return. Yes, awesome. Sam should be back. And I think Sam is probably headed to AAA at some point next year. He is, despite the fact being 21 years old, he is getting closer and closer to making that MLB debut. He is. And then Troy Watson, another member of the Blue Jays organization, who spent some time in the Arizona Fall League this fall, is going to be hopefully joining us as early as next week. He's just checking his schedule there. So just
very cool.
A quick little tease. Yes. All right. You can follow us on Twitter while that still exists, at Walk-Off Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, the Walk-Off Podcast. And you can join our Discord, which, let's face it, if you are a member of Blue Jays Twitter, now might be the time to have a safeguard. The link for the Discord is going to be in the show notes. And it's always free. And we're right around 200 members now. And it is very active as we currently speak with all the rumors and stuff circulating. So get in on the fun there.
Man, I saw this great tweet. I'm just going to share this now. It was because obviously Elon fired or laid off like almost the entire Twitter staff yesterday. So I saw this hilarious tweet, ex-Twitter employees pitching investors next week. And it's just John Hamm. And it's like literally just Twitter without Elon. That's the pitch. And, it's a chaotic world out there. Interesting.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Lots of baseball to talk. With Teoscar Hernandez, now a Mariner, the outfield rumors are plentiful when it comes to Toronto. So we'll dig into some of those. The MVPs have been announced and surprise, surprise, there were no surprises. We'll talk that. 2024 All-Star Game headed to Texas, but where will 2026 be? The World Baseball Classic. It goes every 3 years, and this spring is one of those years, and one of the biggest stars in all of baseball announced he is going to be there. If Twitter does go down, where will Blue Jays fans go to talk the game? We'll discuss, and Adam and I recalculate our vision on where the Jays are at and give our dream outcome of the offseason. That's how we'll close things up here. So let's start, my dude, with the Blue Jays. Let's start with free agency. The fact they did just ship out Teoscar Hernandez a couple of days ago, which means that they are in on an outfielder. My guess is a center fielder. My guess is someone who hits left-handed. And I know that Michael Balboa. Okay. The Balboa bomb.
The Balboa bomb.
Now, he's an old school dude. I do think he still has some sources in the industry. He does get some right every once in a while, but I know that you have put it very well, right? That if you throw out 100 rumors and one lands, all of a sudden you're an insider. Although this guy has done it a few times, so maybe there is something to this. But he recently tweeted that The Brandon Nemo sweepstakes are down to two teams. Now, Mets, the Mets and the Blue Jays have been in a bidding war numerous times over the last couple of years when it comes to free agency. George Springer, of course, wound up going to the Jays. Kevin Gausman, the Mets were in big on, wound up going to the Jays. So we will see how this plays out according to sources, right? And it seems like every analyst out there in the Twitterverse is bringing this up because it's obvious that there's a hole in the Blue Jays outfield, right? It's so easy to throw rumors out there when it just makes so much sense. Yeah, of course the Blue Jays are kicking tires on outfielders.
Yeah, you need three outfielders. We have one and a half. Are we going to add one? Sources, like you said the other day, sources being my eyeballs, Blue Jays looking to add in the outfield.
So Brandon Nemo is an interesting candidate. He's probably the best fit, but it is being rumored that he is going to get a major, major payday. All right. So Jeff Passan is quoted as saying something along the lines that he is going to get the Sin Chin Chu contract, which was 5 years, $130 million.
6 years, $130.
Thank you. 6 years, $130 million. I don't know if it's going to be quite that much, but I can see there being that sixth year there, very similar to what Toronto had to do to get George Springer, which was go that extra year in term. I would guess Brandon Nemo is probably the same. Listen, I want to clear something up too here, because Nemo or Nimmo, okay, very accredited journalists have used both. By the way, if you are a stickler for exactly how he says it, drop a comment. Let us know.
You know what? I just want to point out how woke of it of us it is that we're even mispronouncing the white people names.
Yes.
We struggle with the international names and we get roasted for that all the time. But it has nothing to do with race. We're just doing our best. Two idiots doing their best. Original name of the show.
So
Brandon Nemo.
So Brandon. Continue. Yes. So Brady Nemo.
Tim Brady. Go ahead.
I just wanted to clear up. I know some folks were roasting me in particular for saying a big lefty bat. I do want to defend my take here. Obviously, maybe I'm communicating myself improperly because I'm well aware that he's not, for lack of a better term, big with full of power and all that sort of thing. What I more meant is that he's got a 135 plus OPS over the last 2 years. He gets on base at an incredible rate. Over the last 3 years, he's had an OPS 800 or higher. He is six foot three.
He is technically big.
He's technically big. Yeah. Maybe I used the wrong term there. Okay. So let's reel it in. I'm well aware where Brandon Nemo would fit. I kind of had envisioned him in that five hole in the middle of the order for a few reasons. Number one, splits up all the righty bats. Also, George Springer seems like he is going to be our long-term leadoff man. Now, I'm all for Springer moving out of center field. I'm all for Springer moving to that second hole in the batting order. I've wanted Springer hitting second since they acquired him. But I just kind of assume that part of the reason they weren't doing that is that it was a verbal contract, an agreement amongst the Blue Jays organization and George Springer when he signed that he would be allowed to stay as the leadoff guy, which is where he is most comfortable and has spent almost his entirety of his career hitting. Now, it is stated that Ross Atkins kind of mentioned this in his press conference recently, that if there is an opportunity to bring in a center fielder that improves this Blue Jays team, that George is fine with moving to right field. Now, George Springer is going into his age 33 season. He's 6'3". He's 250 pounds. He's a big dude to play center field. And we've talked about this before, that the bigger the body, the quicker it wears down at a position that is as stringent as center field. So if he's prepared to move to right, maybe he is prepared to go into that second hole. Because Nimmo in the leadoff spot would be fantastic, which is where he kind of projects as a hitter, would be leadoff. Then if you can go out there and pick up, let's say, a Michael Brantley, free up the DH spot a bit more, and you can rotate Springer and him through it. This would require, obviously, a catcher being moved. We don't want to bring up the name, but, you know, Kirk is who makes sense. He's who's taken up the most DH spots. I just think if you can get in, bring in a guy like Michael Brantley, or even a Michael Conforto on a short-term one-year, two-year deal who can also slot into that top five in the rotation and break up those right-handed bats, which is obviously what the Blue Jays are trying to do here. It's why they traded Teoscar. And I know Blue Jays fans are really upset right now with the return, or the majority of them are, but there is a bigger picture happening here. And I think it really does have a lot to do with this organization has tried to ignore handedness for the last 2 years, and it has not worked. So I think you look at the teams who have won World Series, who have been the furthest in the playoffs over the last couple of years, they're pretty balanced lineups. Let's be serious. So I think that's what's going on here. Listen, we'll move on from Nimmo, however you want to say it. But there are still a pile of outfield rumors around this Toronto Blue Jays organization, Adam, like there should be.
Like there should be. Here's one that I've got my eyes on. This tweet comes in from John Morosi. The hashtag Blue Jays, clever use of the hashtag there, are one team to watch on Cody Bellinger if he is non-tendered by the Dodgers. Again, they are known to have interest in Brandon Nimmo as well. What do you think of Cody Bellinger, Scott? Because I've been kind of calling for Bellinger since last year's trade deadline, I think. I was actually saying it should be a Teoscar for Bellinger straight across trade. I like Bellinger. I think he's not going to get Sin Shu Chu money. That's for sure.
No.
He's going to be less money we spend on the outfield. That's more money we can put into pitching or whatever the case may be. I know that Cody Bellinger has struggled in the last couple of years. Defensively, still elite. Great center fielder out there. Great defense. This is a guy who won Rookie of the Year and was MVP not long ago. And he's only 27. I don't know why he seems to have fallen off a cliff, but this is a Blue Jays team who loves projects. They love reclamation projects.
Here is where I am on Cody Bellinger. I'm all for him. If he is playing second fiddle to a Nimmo, I like the idea of bringing him in as, I mean, they just cleared out Raimel Tapia. They just cleared out Bradley Zimmer. There is room for an outfielder on this bench. A guy like Bellinger can play all three outfield positions. He's been a playoff man for years. He's done well in the playoffs, even in 2021 when he basically shat the bed all season long, and then he came into the playoffs and he hit, I think it was 360 or something like that. He hit incredibly well in the 2020 World Series, where he struggled in the 2020 season, had four home runs and a batting average above 300. I would like to see Cody Bellinger in a bench role, play himself onto the team if this is a route the Blue Jays want to go. Personally, I think there's no reason for us to take a project unless it's that sort of scenario. I understand everyone's screaming about money, but I really think that this is the window. Spend now. I don't want excuses from Rogers. I don't give a shit that they're a separate entity from the actual full Rodgers body of work or whatever there, right? And that, yes, the Blue Jays are their own financial entity and have their own budget. And that, yes, the ownership group being the second richest in all of baseball is a little misleading when you start to break down the corporate structure. I don't care, man. I just don't care. Spend the frickin' money. This is right now. We have Vladdy under contract at a very reasonable rate, even with his arb years. I know this next season, he's probably making $13 million or something like that after arbitration. And probably by the time he's a free agent in 2026, it's over $20 million a year. That's good. That's great because you're still getting good value back on that. I know Bo Bichette is arb eligible. There is money attached to this young core, but I don't know, man. Where are you at? Like, do you think that they need to, do you think Bellinger on his own with the question marks around it is something a competing team like the Jays should do?
There are guys like this, as you call them, a buy low, high ceiling guy. And this is to a T. You're getting him at his absolute lowest. And we've seen the ceiling. The ceiling is literally 47 home runs, MVP, gold glove, silver slugger. This is a potential game changer that could cost us almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether it's via trade, if the Dodgers do re-sign him and we got to throw something their way to get him. The Dodgers don't seem enamored by him. The upside with Bellinger is higher than the upside with Nemo. And I'm worried about Nemo and giving him a big contract. We talked numbers earlier. To give him George Springer kind of money.
There's a lot of reasons to be trepidatious about this. Carry on.
The injury history.
Yes. With
Brandon Nemo is extensive. Like, it is deeper than you'd like to see with a guy that we're going to have to give 6 years to, you know, well over $100 million if that's what we're going to have to do. Like, if we're going to go compete against the Mets again to bring in Brandon Nemo, we're going to be putting out something similar to George Springer, kind of a contract for a guy who does have an injury history. Like, do you like the vision of the Blue Jays where we've got Springer and Nemo and they're both splitting time on the IL, making, you know, $35 million between the two of them? I'm scared off of that. And again, I know he's a lefty bat. He still is not the power lefty, right? Like, George Springer has almost more leadoff home runs in his career than Brandon Nemo has home runs total. I think it's like 63 career home runs for Nemo, 50-ish leadoff home runs for Springer. So if we're going to spend that kind of money, at least George Springer has that elite offense upside. Cody Bellinger, man, like, I'm looking at his stats right now on Baseball Reference. Doesn't have a deep injury history here. 6 years in the league. 2022, he played 56 games. Again, that was the COVID season. So 56 out of 60. 2021, he played 95 games. So missed some time in 2021. Otherwise, it's like 132 his rookie season. 162, that was his sophomore season. 156 in 2019, that's when he was an MVP. Again, only three seasons removed from an MVP season. The numbers for everyone in 2020 were kind of wonky, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe injuries plagued him in 2021 and that carried over into this year. I mean, over the last three seasons, his batting average is .203 with an OPS of .648. You don't like that at all. But over his first three seasons, career batting average .278, OPS .928. I'll take that. And if it's just a matter of maybe something wasn't quite right and he can get right, oh man, does that ever get me excited? I don't know. Cody Bellinger all day. I would way rather have the Brandon Nimmo. The contract isn't going to be as much. Trade for him. Yeah, I don't know where we fit both in unless Gurriel's gone. And maybe that's the plan.
I don't think it is. Look at how much Raimel Tapia played as the fourth outfielder last season.
True.
You know, he played what? Almost 145 games or something like that. I mean, so, and I listen, you are 100% correct. Giving Brandon Nimmo a giant contract with a lot of term has a lot of risk to it because of his injury past. His injured past, I guess, is the best way of putting it. I mean, since 2017, his games played go as such. 69 played in 2017. He played 140 in 2018. Had a very injury-marred 2019 with 69 games played. He played almost the entire 2020 season with 55 games. Of course, that was the shortened 60-game season. Had an injury-marred 2021 with 92 games played. And then last year was the healthiest he's ever been at 151 games. He's 29 years old. So he's 2 years older than Cody Bellinger. He's an on-base machine. Again, he's not going to replace Teoscar's home runs. But the dream is that he slots in higher in the lineup to get on for guys like George Springer. I like the idea of Cody Bellinger. I just don't like the idea of him being the guy. And if it doesn't work out, now we're like, well, we just got rid of Teoscar Hernandez, and now there's a black hole that we need to bat ninth and limp through.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he'll probably be non-tendered, which means the Jays might be able to get him on a one-year deal for like $8 million.
Right. Right. That's the appeal, man. That's the appeal. Or sign him to maybe a 2 or 3 year deal for like 30, 40 million or something. Right. I like it. I like pairing that with the added value of still having more money to spend on other options, right? Like going after a Dansby Swanson or Jacob DeGrom or Justin Verlander might be overreaching a little bit, but you know, would I rather give Cody Bellinger $8 million and cross my fingers that upside appears again in 2023 versus giving $20 million a year to Brandon Nimmo? That's kind of where I'm at. Like, that's potentially $12 million less that we can offer a pitcher. So if we're going out and we're spending $20 million a year on a pitcher, I'd rather have Bellinger and then have the ability to spend $32 million a year on a starting pitcher and maybe go actually get a Justin Verlander on a 2 year crazy deal or something. I don't know. I am souring a little bit on Brandon Nimmo. The injury history concerns me. The lack of pop in his bat does concern me. The indications of what kind of money he's expected to get in free agency is a concern. Committing 6 years to a guy with an injury history and doesn't on base percentage, man, it doesn't quite scream mega deal for me. I mean, I'm not giving Kevin Biggio a $100 million contract either. So. Lefty bat that can play the outfield, Kevin Biggio. I don't know, on-base percentage machine. Am I crazy? Am I being too harsh on Brandon Nimmo by pulling Kevin Biggio's name out?
I feel you are. I totally get, honestly, I get where you're coming from, man. I think Nimmo's the guy. I think him in center field is just so good for this team. And it opens up so many opportunities. And I truly believe that the money isn't going to come, isn't going to impede starting pitching, because I think this organization has a plan to get starting pitching through trade. So if there's certain amount of money allocated to free agency and their plan is to fill their outfield need with that money, as long as that they're still addressing the starting pitching, I think it's fine. I mean, we are running with three above average catchers, there's a reason to think that there's a possibility to fill some needs using some strength, an area of strength, right? Continue to roll down these outfield options. Arizona and Seattle made a very interesting trade last night. The Mariners and the Diamondbacks in agreement on a trade that will send outfielder Kyle Lewis, who was the rookie of the year in 2020, to Arizona. And outfielder and catcher Cooper Hummel goes to Seattle. So it's a one-for-one trade. This is interesting because Arizona now has six major league-ready outfielders. So whenever there's a team that has a surplus of outfielders, it's hard not to tie the Blue Jays to them. Of course, Dalton Varsho would be the dream, right? Center fielder, lefty bat, young, controllable, has a bunch of term on his contract before he's a free agent. He plays a little bit of catcher. So if you were to move, let's say, a catcher for Dalton Varsho, now this is where, if that's the scenario, now money is being allocated to starting pitching from free agency, correct? Like, I feel like it's one or the other, right? So Dalton Varsho is a very good candidate here for the Blue Jays. I just think that when it comes to those outfielders in Arizona, both Carroll and Varsho are off the market, but you never know.
I mean, there's going to be some creative solution. I mean, we just spent 20 minutes talking about the Blue Jays going after Brandon Nimmo or Cody Bellinger. There's going to be something that's not on anybody's radar that's the actual solution. And who knows? I'll be wearing a Varsho jersey by midseason next year. So
wouldn't that be great? There you go. I mean, there are other trade candidates. Of course, we talk Lars Nootbaar all the time. The Cards, obviously, a trade candidate needing a catcher. The Blue Jays having, we just talked, a surplus of high-end catchers. Of course, the Cardinals have been stated as saying they are after a lefty bat. Nootbaar is a lefty bat, so it that kind of makes you question his availability. Brian Reynolds with the Pirates is another trade option that would work really well. Defensive whiz in center field. He's got a great bat on the kid. He's under contract for a few more years as well. There's term to him. Of course, it has been stated the Pirates want a haul if they're going to move him because they're fine with just sticking with him. So there are trade options out there. I just would be surprised to see the Blue Jays allocate resources to an outfield trade when they need pitching so badly.
Is there any chance we can get O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates?
I would say zero.
Damn it. I was afraid you'd say that. The good thing is you're just an idiot who knows nothing. So
that's true.
Just like me. So maybe there is a chance.
Don't trust us if there's a chance or not.
Cue the Dumb and Dumber meme of Jim Carrey saying, "So you're telling me there's a chance." All right.
Okay, let's move along. MVP pounced. Obviously, everyone was talking that it's going to be Aaron Judge in the American League. He just won the American League MVP last night with no surprise, breaking the American League home run record last year with 62. Anything to say on this, Adam? I mean, was there any sort of doubt?
No, I mean, I went down the list of votes, right? Because when the writers vote, they have to make their fifth, sixth, seventh votes as well, right? Bo Bichette was the top vote getter for Blue Jays.
Yes, so, I saw that.
Pretty cool. Vladdy
Alec
also
Manoah got
votes,
some votes
so
too.
Alec Manoah, yeah. So
yeah,
that's cool. It's all
worth a mention.
Worth a mention for sure.
Now, listen, I love Shohei Ohtani. If I was voting, I probably would have voted for Shohei Ohtani. I will make myself very clear here. This is a biased opinion. I can't stand the Yankees. As soon as you put pinstripes on, I'm biased. I can't help it.
Yep.
Aaron Judge had an incredible season. And it's even as being biased, I can't by any means argue with any sort of real ferocity that this was that he got jobbed or anything like that. Yeah. You know, this is pretty tough to argue with Aaron Judge as MVP.
Big time.
No surprise with the National League MVP either. Paul Goldschmidt, St. Louis Cardinal, 35 years old, and he wins the MVP. Second was Manny Machado, and third was Nolan Arenado. I would have had Manny Machado as number one, but I, again, have no qualms with this decision. You know, like, Paul Goldschmidt had a hell of a season, man.
Yeah, hell of a season. Nice to see. The Manny Machado thing, I'm glad he's not an Oriole anymore.
Yeah. Sure, it's easy to appreciate his talent when he's not playing 19 times a year, right?
I think he's really settled in, too, to his personality. You know, he has really gone from one of the most hated players in all of baseball to a solid dude.
A respected guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because all it took was having a more entitled, bigger jerk on the team, right? And everyone's like, you know what? When you start comparing Fernando Tatis Jr. to Manny Machado, Machado seems like a real stud and a real great dude. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. That was always my sweet spot when I was dating. I would just find girls to date who had a terrible ex-boyfriend. And then I would be just a hero in comparison.
Yes.
Like, wow, this guy opened the door for me. Wow. Wow. You know, so. Anyways, I was the Manny Machado of the dating scene in Western Canada for a couple of years before I got married. So there we go. All right, that was dumb. Another major award for a Toronto Blue Jays pitcher.
Yes!
Jordan Romano, the 2022 Pitching Ninja Psychopath Award. What?
Yes!
That's amazing. Well deserved. Won it unanimously, I would have to imagine.
I would say so.
The Markham Madman, right?
The Markham Madman. I know that we had Haggy D on the show last offseason, Hag and Danner. He probably will even get a chance to pitch out of the Blue Jays bullpen this season, depending on how injuries go and how his spring training goes, because he absolutely lit the Arizona Fall League up. He's another guy who's going to join us in December, by the way. Haggy D said, we asked him who his favorite closer is currently to watch. There was not a beat skipped. It was Jordan Romano. He's like, I love that man. The dude is a psycho. Exact words. The dude is a psycho. And I just love that this is starting to permeate through the league. Yeah, that Jordan Romano, the Markham Madman, has a bit of an edge to him. So love to see it. Should we show our...
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So
okay.
we're working on some fun, lighthearted, playful merch, I suppose you'd call it.
Yes.
As cringy of a word as I feel that is. We got a Markham Madman design that we're working on. So I'll just bring this up here now. This is the rough draft, but this you may recognize this scene from The Shining. But instead of Jack Nicholson's face popping through the door, we've got this. So here's Jordy with the old axe coming through the door. So some fun there. So that's something to look forward to.
And then on the other side of the mug, it will say Markham Madman. And I know, listen, everyone listening to us right now who has been with the walk-off community for a while is probably going to go, oh, they're talking merch again. These guys always bring merch up and then never follow through.
Let me tell you right now,
all right, our website, our web designer literally just sent us the finished product. So we're going to go over it after the recording here and kind of give our little notes. But we are so close to having a website where you can go get merch, having a website where all of our content is in one place to be able to, if you needed a comedian, hire a comedian. We've got two of us here, right? Yeah. So we're pretty excited about this. Despite how long it took us to get to this point, we're almost there, gang. So
yeah,
we do have some
stuff.
Cool merch ideas. Yeah,
T-shirts, get your bad tacos on your socks. Why not? Oh, we got this good one too. This one we came up with the other day. I know I dropped a preview of it in the Discord, so some of you might have already seen this. But this
Forget
Bigfoot. This is the legendary beast you may have heard of, but have never really seen with your own eyes. This is Big Nate. So get your Big Nate coffee mug potentially soon.
With the Big Nate mugs, by the way, 1-4 come fine. The other three are broken. So yes. 25% chance that you're going to get a Nate Pearson mug in working condition.
So it's realistic.
That's right.
You don't know what you're getting. Maybe you got a good coffee mug. Maybe you don't. So that's life.
One of my favorite international tournaments in sport is happening this spring. The World Baseball Championship. That happens every 3 years. I know that Team Canada is going to be a pretty good looking team this year if they can get all of the Canadians playing in the MLB to commit. It would be very cool to watch guys like Tyler O'Neill hitting bombs in that Canadian jersey, right? But the biggest player, you could probably even just go size-wise, he's one of the biggest, but
that is how we define our big lefty bats, after all. It is height-based.
That's right. Size, height. It is height. Exactly.
Height and weight-based.
This is truly the biggest lefty bat in the game. But Shohei Ohtani has just came out and said that he plans to and will play for Team Japan at this year's WCB.
Very cool. That's cool for the game. It's good for the tournament.
Isn't it?
You need your big stars. Showing up and supporting these sorts of things, because otherwise it goes away. It's like the all-star games for all these sports when the best guys say, I need to take the week off and rest. It's like, I get it, but it's better with them there. So that's very cool news.
Okay, let's move on to Blue Jays Twitter here. We are getting close to wrapping up the show. I did want to just really quickly touch on the fact that I have been a member of Twitter since 2009. On my personal account, I have 900 followers. I never really got it. I just didn't get it. I never got Twitter. I didn't understand the joys of it. And then with the walk-off account, I've stumbled into Blue Jays Twitter. I didn't even understand what it was. Well, basically, it's just thousands of Blue Jays fans following each other. And pretty soon you're in this self-contained little unit where it's all Blue Jays talk. It's a beautiful freaking thing. We have regulars that come on the show that the only reason we know them is from Twitter. You know, like we just talked to Brian Crawford and Brendan Delaney, the prospect boys, right? Following the Blue Jays minor league system, a tip of the hat to them. Our good friend Garth Yorgi sending us baseball cards, a permanent fixture on the long toss, you know, Baseball Jen, Craig Ballard. Like, the list goes on and on. So to see all the talk of Twitter, possibly just the shit show that it is currently with Elon Musk at the helm and all of the firings, and we kind of touched on it off the top of the show here, but I know there's a little bit of panic amongst Blue Jays Twitter where they're like, where are we all going to talk baseball? Like, I feel the same thing. Like, it's such a cool little community that I did not have any idea about until I was submersed in it. And I'll really miss it. I hope that it doesn't go anywhere. I don't think it will. I think there's too much money on the line for Twitter to just be flushed away. But we'll see. However, I did want to bring it up here. If you are a member of Blue Jays Twitter and you are also freaking out a little bit, our Discord has 200 members. I know it's not the thousands and thousands of Blue Jays fans you're used to. However, it's a very active little site. Everyone behaves themselves, which is wild, something I can't say for Blue Jays Twitter. So the link for the Discord is in the show notes. It's always free. Adam and I are in there, but I mean, this thing runs itself.
Yeah,
I know we've had a bunch of new members join just recently that are very active. Love to see new members be active. So again, feel free to join the Discord. So let's end on this, my dude. You and I both mentioned, right as the Blue Jays were eliminated, before the World Series was even played, who we wanted to see the Blue Jays go out and spend money on as a free agent. Okay, so I had picked Edwin Diaz. he didn't wind up even going to free agency. The Mets scooped him up before that even happened. You had.
I don't remember who I had. It was so long ago, Scott. You're really putting me on the spot here.
You don't remember who you had. Perfect.
I don't know. Dansby Swanson, maybe? Or might have been on my list.
Perfect. Let's. So now Adam and I have taken these original picks. Some
Scott,
of us
I just
have forgotten
stuff,
them.
Man. I don't. It's gone. It's like a fart in the wind. I say it and it's gone. I don't know. Put this in the show notes if you want me to remember who I said I wanted off the cuff 3 weeks ago.
I'm like, we have recalculated. I was like, yeah, that's fine. We're recalculating.
Yeah, I have new calculations. I totally threw the old calculations out. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's start with you here, buddy. If at the end of April 1st, where do you wish to see the Blue Jays at in a perfect world? Who is on this roster that isn't currently on it? How do you see the starting pitching going down? Who's playing in center field? Where are you at?
I like to see a world where I think Cody Bellinger is our full-time center fielder, and I'm just having confidence in that. We also traded away probably Alejandro Kirk as part of a package that maybe included another prospect or another Espinal or Biggio or maybe Gurriel type guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they went to the Astros. Maybe Craig Biggio wanted his son in the organization. Maybe Yuli Gurriel wanted to play with his brother. So maybe we packaged a whole thing. The Astros need catchers. Maybe we got one of their pitchers back. I don't necessarily know a particular name. I would like to go get Mike Zunino as a catcher, free agent. So
okay,
just to take a little bit of the pressure off of Alejandro Kirk, of Gabriel Moreno, who looked good last year. But Danny Jansen, I mean, love Danny Jansen, does have a little bit of a creeping up injury history. So yes. I would like to see Danny Jansen play a full season for a catcher this year. But I don't know if I feel good about Gabriel Moreno necessarily catching 100 plus games if need be. So Mike Zunino, give me him.
Okay. I really like that. I personally would love to see Brandon Nimmo in center field. I would like another lefty outfield bat that is going to play as much as, let's say, Raimel Tapia does. The dream is a Michael Brantley, a Michael Conforto, a Cody Bellinger. I would be absolutely fine with him on the team as well. I also see them moving Alejandro Kirk for starting pitching. The team I want to see them deal with is the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, the Brewers, for a few reasons, are a great fit because Milwaukee refuses to be one of those shit low-paid teams. They refuse, and I respect the crap out of the Brew Crew for their ability to constantly find value in players that maybe other teams have overlooked, right? And they do it in such a different way than, let's say, the Rays do, but their system works. So Alejandro Kirk fits in really well in this sort of system where they're never rebuilding and constantly striving for a playoff spot, because despite the fact that maybe Alejandro Kirk, now I want Corbin Burns, obviously this is a massive,
you're aiming for the stars here, this is a
I'm aiming Cy Young winner
or nominee.
He was not this year, but last year he did win the Cy Young in the National League. He had a very good season this year as well. Now if Corbin Burns is too expensive, which he very well could be, because it probably, listen, to get Burns, it probably takes Tiedemann and Kirk. And Adam and I have already talked about the money allotted to this starting pitching over the last couple of years, and how if you just look at the full roster's budget, I think it's like 40% is starting pitching, which is the highest in all of baseball.
58% if you include the bullpen. Yeah.
If you include the bullpen. So you almost need to cross your fingers and hope that Ricky Tiedemann actually pulls an Alek Manoah and that he allows that cost certainty and isn't going to cost you big money until guys like Gausman and Berríos are off the books.
Right.
But if you don't want to get rid of Tiedemann, and this is a deal breaker, and the only way you get Burns is by including him, and you don't want to do that, Brandon Woodruff is an incredibly good pitcher as well. He's going to cost less. He's under 2 years of control still, and he would fit in very well in the top three of this Blue Jays rotation.
Love it.
I really like the Blue Jays Brewers fit, and that's kind of where I would want to go. And then
we've dealt with them before, right? We sent Rowdy Tellez over there, so we do have a working relationship with that.
On top of that, I'm also all right with, I know there's going to be pushback here in the comments, and please let us know what you're thinking, what you think the best scenarios here would be. Personally, I think the Blue Jays could move two catchers, and I think that a Mike Zunino or a Christian Vasquez or one of those experienced veteran catchers that are out there, maybe that is the route you want to go. Because if you're moving Kirk and Moreno, oh man, the holes you can fill with those two is mind blowing. All right, let's leave it at that.
Very good.
Anything else to add here, my dude?
No. That's I mean, we could speculate on shortstops and where they're going. Do you think there's any chance a Blue Jays go and add a big name infielder? I mean, we talked outfielder for a good chunk of today's episode, but any chance
So before they traded Teoscar, I believed that there was a possibility that infield was going to be, I kind of viewed it like they're either going to upgrade center field or they're going to upgrade shortstop. I think moving Teoscar kind of shows their hand a little bit as to what they're doing. I don't think that they're going to go after a high end shortstop. I think they're happy with the infield as it is, but I mean, we're mind readers here, but
talking shakeups then, you think we're done with the shakeup? You think Teoscar moving, you think that's it for the shakeup? Like,
well, I mean,
Kirk Espinal would be sticking around. Kirk, I guess the catcher. Yeah.
You know, Espinal is a guy that I see added into a Kirk type deal, you know? And he's another guy who fits in really well with the MO of the Milwaukee Brewers, right? Mm-hmm. He's a guy who can play. Colton Wong is under contract for $10 million this year. Yeah. I could see the Brewers flipping Wong and going with a guy like Espinal, who's not even going to be a dip in production, but saves them a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's the thing. Espinal has real value to some of these smaller market teams where, you know, the fans aren't going to be pulling their hair out frustrated with Espinal.
Yes.
But isn't going to be an MVP, isn't going to be garnering MVP votes either, but definitely is a frugal option that will keep the fans still happy. So
yes,
a lot of love for Espinal.
A proven major league second baseman who can All-star. Move around the diamond.
You can't argue All-star. With that. So
yeah,
there you
he's
go.
Great. Absolutely. Love Espy. All right, gang. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate the entire walk-off community. It blows our mind every day that you guys are following us to Nimrods, but we appreciate it. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk-Off Podcast. Join the Discord. Link is in the show notes. All the best, everybody. We will see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.